Good morning. It's a Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, let's start with the Fox News Sunday interview between the President of the United States, Donald Trump, and Chris Wallace. Probably one of the biggest things to come out of it, the president is going to keep people in suspense about how he will respond to the election. He's refusing to publicly commit to accepting the results of the upcoming White House election. He made a similar threat weeks before the 2016 vote. He told Chris Wallace that it's too early to make such an ironclad guarantee, and he scoffs at polls showing him lagging behind Democrat Joe Biden. The Biden campaign says the American people will decide the election, and the government, quote, is perfectly capable of escorting trespassers out of the White House.
Well, I think that's right. Look, this is a man who is so desperate to win because he knows that there will be an accountability that he is apparently protected from the Justice Department and others saying you can't be indicted, you can't be accused. One man does seem to be above the law. The Supreme Court of the United States has come down with a ruling that says nobody is above the law. But on the other hand, go back to ground zero to have a discussion as to whether or not specific things he did were wrong. So it's frustrating, to put it mildly. This is a president who is so dangerous that when I was watching World War II on one of the channels here in Great Barrington, I was astounded by some of the similarities. I think, you know, Hitler's rise to power was not a pleasant one. And here's a guy who's saying, I'm not sure I will abide by the election results. Well, it's infuriating, and something surely has to be done, because this is not right. The one thing that the United States has always stood for is a peaceful transference of power, and one way or the other, we get it. We get it whether it's a Lyndon Johnson or whether it's Richard Nixon, and then people are expected to conform to the norms and standards of fair government. Here's a guy who's saying it's too early to say whether I will conform to that, please. And what happens is we know that every way that he can load this election, he will. He's against write-in voting, even though he's a write-in voter himself. And he is clearly in some real psychological trouble. And that doesn't come from me. That comes from his niece, Mary, who has written a book that sold 1 million copies already, apparently. So people are on to this. His numbers keep going down. And in some of his so-called press conferences, he rambles and rambles and rambles and does sound like he's sort of coming apart. It reminds me a little bit of Captain Quigan, the Kane Mutiny court-martial. So this is something that this country has never seen before, and I hope it never sees again. And I hope that we are at the point now where we say to him and to his like-minded people, you can't continue to do what you're doing. David, I've been watching the Republican senators, Mitch McConnell, openly disagreeing with this president for the first time. And that's interesting. You get his attacks on Fauci, they have been roundly rejected. His own CDC director, Redfield, and others have said everybody should wear a mask. This president still doesn't do what he needs to do. He's still giving out moronic statements about how if we weren't testing, we wouldn't know. That's right, Mr. President, we wouldn't know, but we should know, and we do know that you haven't done what you needed to do to protect us. And that's why his numbers are going down.
And we need to figure out how we're going to help states like New York and the rest of the country who are dealing with all this pandemic pain, and it includes economic pain. GOP leaders and Trump are set to discuss virus aid as crisis deepens. We know the New York State Legislature is meeting in special session this week. They're all waiting on the federal money.
Well, that's right. If there's one thing you can hand Andrew Cuomo at this stage of the game, it's that at no point has he been willing to concede, okay, if we don't get that money, and if we don't get the $16 billion we're in the hole for, or parts of it, we will not even consider the draconian cuts to our school districts and our health care and our hospitals and everything else. So he has insisted that this is going to happen. Now we come to a point where the rubber has hit the road. The U.S. Senate is so concerned that their members are going to lose. These Republican senators are going to lose. The McConnell and others are openly breaking with the president on things like masks and Fauci and other things. So as a result of all of this, we're going to see some mighty changes as the Trump edifice begins to crumble.
Meantime, Democratic leaders in the U.S. House are asking for federal inspectors general to investigate federal law enforcement involvement in trying to quell nightly protests in Portland, Oregon, and other cities. Lawmakers from New York and Mississippi say actions by federal law enforcement agencies are working to suppress First Amendment-protected activities in Washington, D.C. and Portland. There's been quite a few stories on what's been going on, especially in Portland.
Well, Portland, Oregon is one of the scariest things that I have seen. When the original reports began to come out, it was so scary. The idea that people would be arresting U.S. citizens because they went to a protest rally, hauling them into black cars and taking them away, that really is reminiscent of the Nazis. And it is something that every American should be incredibly concerned about and protest. We're talking about Democratic U.S. senators and mayors and others saying you can't come in here and do this to us, and yet they are. And the ICE people and others are defending themselves and saying we have every right to do it. So here you have a classic confrontation between the states and between the out-of-control federal government who are acting like thugs.
A political observer. Alan Shartok with us. Stay safe, everybody.
You are so right, David. Staying safe is so important. The urge to open things up is so great, and people are doing it. That's all good, as long as every precaution is taken. But when you read in the paper that there's increasing evidence that these particles of disease float in the air for several hours, it raises all kinds of very difficult-to-answer questions.